If you have your Bibles with you, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Luke. We've been in the book of Luke now a couple weeks, leading up to Easter, leading up to Jesus' death on the cross for us, his burial and resurrection, which we will celebrate here in just a few weeks. And we've been looking at the theme of hope is rising. So we've been looking at different stories of hope all throughout the book of Luke. And we began a couple weeks ago by looking at the woman who was known by her sin, who was an outcast, who was rejected by society, and the fact that there is hope for those who are outcast. Last week we looked at the parable that Jesus spoke about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And we talked about the fact that there was hope for those who humble themselves before God. This week, we are looking at the fact that hope changes everything. Hope changes everything. Can I ask you a question this morning? What matters most in life? What matters most in life? What is it that we should be giving ourselves to? When you come here to Luke chapter 19, there's one small verse that's tucked away in verse 10 that reveals to us why Jesus was here, what he came to do, and what mattered most to him. In verse 10, it simply says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." He came, Jesus came, to bring hope to those who were lost. And the hope that he brought changes everything. When you take a look around our world today, most people are searching for, seeking to find hope. People are struggling to get by. People are just trying to survive another day. Multitudes of people have little peace and contentment in their life. Seemingly they have no purpose in their life, and some even ask the question, is this really all there is in life? Maybe that was the question that came to the man that we're going to talk about today to his mind. Maybe Zacchaeus, in seeking out Jesus, was trying to answer the question, is there really more to life? Is this really all there is? Death and taxes, right? Is that all there is to life? Luke chapter 19. Here's what the scripture says. He, speaking about Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone into be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Can we pray together? God, I want to ask this morning that you would come and that you would speak to us. God, that you would open our eyes to what you would have us to see in your word today. God, that you may challenge us through it. God, we thank you for your presence here in this moment. God, I ask that you would have your way with us today. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Zacchaeus. Most of us probably know the story of Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. Y'all can sing along. "For the Lord he wanted to see." Y'all know the story, right? Many of you know the song that we used to sing in preschool Bible classes. Some of you were too embarrassed to sing along. Sometimes we forget that this was an occurrence in the scripture that teaches us much more than just a song to sing. Notice with me as we look into this story, because we're going to take a close look at Zacchaeus, and we're going to see how he found hope in Jesus. Just to kind of set the background to what we're going to look at today, Passover is just a week away. And if you've been following along in the book of Luke, you know that Jesus is making his way towards Jerusalem, evidently to observe Passover. Of course, we know what's going to happen when he gets there, because we've read the end of the book, right? We know that once he gets there, he's going to be tried, and he's going to be found guilty, and he's going to be hung on a cross, and he's going to die, and he's going to be buried, and then on the third day, he's going to rise again. But he's traveling to Jerusalem to observe Passover, and there's a group of people following, a crowd of people following Jesus. It's a pretty large crowd, a multitude, if you will, and just as he's getting towards Jericho, there's a blind beggar on the side of the road. This is in chapter 18. And of course, the blind person could not see what was happening, but he was hearing the commotion and he wants to know what's happening. And they tell him that Jesus is passing by, and this blind beggar begins to cry out, "Have mercy on me, son of David. Have mercy on me." And you can read the story for yourself, but Jesus has the man brought to him and says, "What do you want?" And the man says, "Of course, I want to see." And Jesus says, "Well, see, your faith has made you well." And the man began to praise God because his sight had returned. So here you have a throng of people who just saw a miracle take place. A blind man, a beggar by the side of the road had just received his sight, and he's following after Jesus, praising God, and the multitude of people are praising God, following Jesus as they arrive into Jericho. No doubt, news was traveling fast that Jesus was coming. And the news reached the ears of this rich chief tax collector, Zacchaeus. Verse 1 says that Jesus entered into Jericho and his intention was to pass through. But verse 2 tells us that there was a certain man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He heard that Jesus was coming and he wanted to go see this Jesus. Verse 2 says that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Did you know this is the only place in all of the scripture that we find chief tax collector? Zacchaeus was a very important person. Yes, he was a man who was short in stature, but he was a very important person. He had other tax collectors under him who would bring the tax money to him, and then he would probably take some off the top and then send it on to Rome, right? And he set up shop in Jericho, which was a major trade route. And so, yeah, he was rich, right? The scripture says that he was the chief tax collector. In other words, he was on top of the tax pyramid, and he was very rich. He gained a lot of wealth from his position. But notice what verse 3 says. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. I find this interesting. And I hope you get the connection here as we're following Jesus into Jericho. Because just earlier, Jesus had healed a blind beggar. A man who could not physically see Jesus, but with eyes of faith believed that he could be healed. And now you have a seeing person who is rich and he is longing to see Jesus. I find that, well, amazing. Because both of those men, despite their difference of circumstance, wanted the same thing. They wanted Jesus. So Zacchaeus comes to the crowd, and of course he's, well, as the song says, a wee little man, right? He was short in stature. I sympathize and empathize with Zacchaeus. I know how it is to get into a crowd and not be able to see what you want to see. It's like when my family and I go to a Tennessee football game and we arrive early and we want to see the players walk down through the Vol walk. Yeah, we have to get there really early because if I'm in the crowd, Well, I can see the tops of their head, maybe, right? I understood as I was reading this Zacchaeus' problem. I mean, he's longing to see Jesus. There's something about Jesus that he's wanting to see, and he just can't because, well, the blind man was blind, but Zacchaeus was short, and they're both an obstacle to see Jesus. So what does Zacchaeus do? He runs ahead. He knows the path that Jesus is taking, and so he runs ahead of the crowd. I mean, think about it. Zacchaeus was a smart man, too. So he ran ahead of the crowd just for a chance to see this Jesus. He climbed up into a tree, the sycamore tree. It's kind of similar to a mulberry tree. It's short-trunked with branches, so he had no problem getting up into the tree that was there by the road, and he camped out in the tree waiting on Jesus to pass by. The question struck me. Why did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? Why did he want to see Jesus? Maybe he'd heard what Jesus had said about the tax collector in the parable that we looked at in Luke chapter 18 last week. Maybe he'd heard that there is hope for someone like him. Maybe he had heard of the rich ruler that Jesus had met on the road that cried out to Jesus, "Good teacher, I want to know how to inherit eternal life." He was a rich man, a very rich man, wanting the same thing that maybe Zacchaeus was wanting. And maybe he heard how the rich man had left sad because he would not follow after Jesus and sell all that he had and give it to the poor. Maybe he's looking for something that would give his life meaning. Maybe he was asking himself the question, surely there is more to life than just taxes. Maybe he was tired of being rejected by his own countrymen because of his position as a tax collector. Maybe he was just wanting some love and acceptance. I don't know the reason necessarily why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus so bad, but I do have to believe that he needed hope. And maybe, just maybe, Jesus could give him hope. Jesus is about to go above and beyond what Zacchaeus even thought. Zacchaeus just wanted to see him. He just wanted to see who he was. And as Jesus was passing by through Jericho, he came to the tree in verse 5. I find this interesting as I read this text. It says that he came to the place. It's almost as if Jesus knew exactly where Zacchaeus would be. He came to the place and he looked up and his eyes met the eyes of this tax collector, this man who was needing hope, and their eyes met, and Jesus doesn't just look down and keep walking. Jesus, standing there looking up into the tree, speaks to him and calls him by name and says, "I must stay at your house today." How interesting is that? Here is someone who is looking for Jesus, trying to see who he was, had never met Jesus, and when Jesus stops at the tree, he calls him by name. He calls him by name. The point is simply this: Jesus knew where he was, he knew the place where Zacchaeus was, and he knew his name, even though they had never met. Never doubt that Jesus knows where you're at in life. He knows the conditions that you're facing. He knows the circumstances and the trials. He knows exactly where you are, and he knows your name. Amen. He knows you. He knows what you need. Zacchaeus is a changed man. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us exactly how all of this happened, that he became this new man, but we trust that he believed in Jesus, that he believed the hope that Jesus was bringing, that his faith was accounted to him as righteousness, just as Abraham's faith was accounted to him righteousness. And Zacchaeus is a changed man. Jesus tells him, "Hurry and come down, because I must stay at your house. So verse 6 says that he hurried and came down, and he received him joyfully. He was a different person. He went to see who Jesus was, and he found out real quick who Jesus was. And when I like verse 7, it's just like people, right? And when they saw it, they grumbled. Here's a man whose life is radically changed, who is now a different person that is going to be testified in what he does next. And the people grumble. And they say, man, Jesus, you've gone to the house of a sinner. Verse 8 says that Zacchaeus stood. He was a man of small stature. But in verse 8, when he stood tall on this day, because he makes a proclamation that goes well above what was even required by the law. Just as much as God's grace and mercy went well beyond what Zacchaeus could ever expect, Zacchaeus returned with more than anyone could ever expect. Here's what he says in verse 8. He told the Lord, Jesus, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Listen, he went to the maximum of what was required by the law. He didn't just want to skate by. He wanted to make sure everyone knew that God had changed him completely. He stood and told what hope can do in someone's life, because hope changes everything. He took the law seriously, and his repentance resulted in action. Jesus confirmed in verse 9 the reality of Zacchaeus' transformation by saying, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. His transformation, Zacchaeus' transformation, was so complete that he went from being selfish to generous, that he went from being a thief to a benefactor, that he went from being a taker to a giver. He was a new person. When we talk about coming to faith in Christ, we often mention the fact that God gives us a new heart. Interesting, I was looking up some information about the heart, and I found this about heart transplants. Don't know if you know this or not, but there's actually two types of heart transplants. One's called orthotopic. That's the one we normally think of, where they take the old heart, the sick heart, out and replace it with a donor heart, a new heart. The other type of transplant is called heterotopic. And here's what this is. They leave the old heart in and connect the new heart to it. That's interesting. I never heard that before. Why do they do that? Well, the thought is that the new heart will help the older sick heart recover and heal. And secondly, if the new heart happens to be rejected by your body and it fails, then you still have the old heart, so you're not in such an immediate risk of death. I found that interesting. Many people want the first type or the second type when God is performing a heart transplant in us. They want to hang on to their old heart. They want just enough Christianity to help their heart get better. They want self-improvement, not a new self. You see, the truth of the matter is our old sinful hearts never get better, because Ephesians tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Our old heart has already died. It is dead. Others want a contingency plan. That is, if this following Jesus thing doesn't work out, I can just go back to my old way of life. I've got news this morning. God only performs one type of heart transplant. He removes the old heart, the sin-sick heart, the dead heart, and he inserts a new heart, a heart that beats to the pulse of the Holy Spirit. And when you get that kind of heart transplant, you will never be the same. This is the kind of heart transplant that Zacchaeus received on this day. He was never the same. 2 Corinthians 5 says that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. He was a new man. He just wasn't a better man. He was a new man altogether. Why? Because hope changed everything for Zacchaeus. Then Jesus reminds us of what he came for. In verse 10, Jesus uses this opportunity to share with those who were following him exactly why he came. And he says, this is why I came. Zacchaeus, you're the reason why I came, to seek and to save the lost. You see, Zacchaeus was lost. He was without hope in the world. But Jesus stopped by and looked up into a tree and said, I must stay at your house. When Jesus uses these words to seek and to save, the word save is from the same word that means rescue. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what Jesus does in a person's life? He rescues them out of their sin. The word lost, it's from the word that also means ruined or destroyed. You see, the truth of the matter is that sin has devastated all of us. It has ruined all of us. It has destroyed all of us. But God, who is rich in mercy, in his grace, in his love, sent a rescuer, Jesus, to save those who would believe. There's a song that sometimes we sing around Easter. It goes something like this: Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. It begs the question as we look at this verse, if Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and we understand that Jesus is sending us out with the same hope, then should we not be doing the same thing? Should we not be seeking the lost to share with them the good news, the hope that can change their life? Should we not be singing praise, hallelujah, what a Savior? I mean, if we've truly understood what Jesus has done for us and we understand just how wonderful his grace and his mercy and his love us and how he's changed us forever, should we not be sharing that with someone? Should we not be out there seeking the lost to share with them the good news of salvation? I mean, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Even this year, as we focus on gospel engagements, as we focus on sharing the good news with people, praying with them when they're hurting, talking to our coworkers about our faith in Jesus, talking to our classmates about what God has done in our life, inviting people to come to church so that they can hear about the good news that we have in Jesus. Shouldn't we be doing exactly what Jesus did for Zacchaeus? It's an interesting thought. Anybody in your life up the tree? But you need to stop and say, there's hope. You see, when we think about Zacchaeus, it's fun to sing the song and not realize exactly the transformation that took place in this man's life. He was a changed person. And really, we need to understand, and I just want to share these two points with you this morning. We need to understand that Jesus changes who we are. He changes our identity. Zacchaeus had been hated. He was a person who had been rejected by his own people because of his profession. But Jesus chose to love and accept him. Hope in Christ redefined who Zacchaeus was. And the same is true of us. When we become a follower of Jesus, he redefines us. And what Jesus does, well, we should align ourselves to what he does. He should be central to our identity. Did you notice that Jesus never commanded Zacchaeus to repay those that he had defrauded or to sell what he had and give to the poor? Jesus never told him to do that. He did it because his life was starting to align to who Jesus was, because that's what Jesus would have done. Jesus had changed him, and Jesus changes us. Secondly, Jesus changes what we do. Not only does he change our identity, he also changes what we do. Zacchaeus was beginning to align his life to Jesus by his actions, and we must do the same in every area of our life as well. If we claim to be a follower of Jesus and we continue to live the same way that we've always lived, then we have missed something. Because the longer that you walk with Christ, I've found this to be true in my own life, the more you realize how holy God is and how unworthy you are. We need to align our lives to Jesus, and that shows up in our actions. This is why the rich ruler back in chapter 18, why he went away sad, because he wouldn't align his life to what Jesus wanted for him. He was very wealthy, and his trust was not in Jesus, but his trust was in his wealth. So when Jesus said, your wealth has got to go, well, he didn't want to do that. That was his security. So he went away sad. Zacchaeus had no problem giving his wealth away because Jesus had changed his life. Can I ask you a question this morning? What areas of your life are not aligned with Jesus? What areas of your life are not aligned with Jesus? Maybe it's in the area of relationships. Maybe it's in the area of money. Maybe it's in the area of your time or your schedule. The truth of the matter is, if we truly believe that Jesus changes everything, then those things necessarily have to change in our life. They have to become aligned to who Jesus is and what he's wanting to do in us. Hope changes everything. Jesus changes everything. Can I ask you this question? Have you placed your hope in Jesus?